here. No, I don't think so. If I can get it on there. There we go. That's good. Good evening. It's good to be here tonight with you all. It's the first time I've actually been to this congregation here in Colcord. And with the preacher exchange that the gentry, Colcord and Jay do, Craig asked us, me and another gentleman, Jeff Guybe, if we would rotate in and out with him so he could hear the other speakers when they come to Jay sometimes. So we were glad to do that and give Craig a break. So this evening we're going to be, the title of the message is The Art of Encouragement. The Art of Encouragement. And you know, in today's world, it appears that almost everyone is getting connected to everyone else. We have cell phones, email, Twitter, Facebook, and there's much more. But no matter how connected we are technically, it seems we're getting less and less connected personally. And that's not what God intended. In fact, the Bible tells us that when God first made man, he said, "It is not good for the man to be alone," Genesis 2 and 18. We were made with a desire to connect, to belong, and to be accepted by others. And one of the words in the Bible that expresses that togetherness, that sharing of ourselves with one another, is the word fellowship. Experiencing that fellowship is important because life has a way of wearing us down, and we tend to get discouraged. And Proverbs 17 and 22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength." When we're discouraged, there will be times when we will have a broken spirit. There will be times when our strength is gone. Once in a while, you know, after you've talked with people or just look around and see people that are, I guess, not so fortunate, but I'm almost stunned by the amount of hurt that some people have. They're carrying inside of them. And all around us are people who are being crushed by life. They have regrets. They have huge regrets from the past. And their health isn't what it used to be. Life has a way of wearing us down, doesn't it? We get so busy. Go, go, go. I know Paulie and I are always telling ourselves now, we're not going anywhere this week. You know, we're going to start staying home more and rest. Well, that doesn't ever work. We don't want to cook, so we'll go out and eat and just going all the time. But it does. Life will wear you out if you let it. And when we're discouraged, what usually happens? We start complaining and feeling sorry for ourselves. We may even turn bitter and isolate ourselves. Sometimes we get so discouraged that we even stop going to church. And that's sad if we get so discouraged that we quit going to church, because that's when we need each other the most. Isolation is not the answer. There's a reason why we as Christians need to be connected, concerned about and encourage each other. Jesus told us in John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Jesus loves us without reservation. The way we can show we're his followers is to do the same with one another. The Apostle Paul says, encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are already doing, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. And Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37-39. A lot of people don't understand what Christianity is about. Christianity is about relationships. Our relationship with God, our relationship with others. It's not about rules and it's not about knowledge. It's about loving, lasting relationships. We're going to go back in history a little bit, and I want to talk just a little bit about tell a story about a man named William Wilberforce. Now, this is the man who worked so hard trying to get Parliament to abolish English support of slavery. Twice he was defeated in his efforts. Discouraged, he was about to give up. Then his old friend, John Wesley, heard of his discouragement. And even though Wesley was on his deathbed, he pulled himself up and asked for pen and paper. With trembling hand, Wesley wrote these words to Wilberforce. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them stronger than God? Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Go on in the name of God and in the power of his might. Wesley died 6 days after writing those words to Wilberforce. With renewed dedication, continued on. Then in 1833, just 3 days before his own death, it was brought to a vote once more, and Parliament finally abolished slavery in Britain. Now, what if John Wesley had not have encouraged him? It sounded like he was going to give up. Encouragement is important because so much is at stake. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. I believe that Jesus is coming back soon. Eternity is at stake. That's why it's so important that we encourage each other. How can we encourage effectively? There was a minister at the Church of Christ in Tahlequah that Polly and I got to know. His name was Steve Parker. He's not there anymore. His name was Steve Parker. He told us a story one time that he went somewhere off visiting. And after the service that Sunday morning, the minister of that particular congregation asked Steve to go with him. They were going to go see a lady that was bedfast. And she had been a very faithful member and always there when she could be. So they go see this lady, and Steve says they walk in the house, and they've got everything set up for her. Okay, she's, of course, in bed. She's got her phone. She's got her pen, Bible, notepad, and everything she needs. And every Sunday, that minister would go there to her house and give her the list of the folks that were not there that morning for some reason or another. And she called each and every one of them and encouraged them that they need to be in church. Now, when she died, they had her funeral at the church, and there was standing room only. They said it was packed full of people that she had touched their hearts, touched their lives somehow by just calling. And there were so many people there that had started coming to church there that have never even seen her face. But she got a phone call, and they went to honor this lady's life. Now that's encouragement. So our meeting together is a source of encouragement, and it's very important. Listen again to Hebrews 10 and 25. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. If you study what the Bible says about the church, there are some things the church cannot do well from a distance. This morning, you could have turned to several channels and you could have heard a church service on TV. Okay? A lot of churches like this, I'm assuming, is for folks that couldn't get out. And that's a good thing. But there's a lot of folks that are using that are very able and willing and could be here. But they watch it on TV. It becomes an excuse to not to have to go and get up early on Sunday morning. You see, that's not what church is all about. And don't get me wrong, it's a fantastic thing. I bet that lady that was bedfast, I bet she would have loved to have had something like this. And it would have been great for her. It's a good tool. But that's not what church is all about. God gave his people a task that goes far beyond preaching and singing, as important as they are. He called us to be a family, a community, a fellowship. He's called us to come to know and love each other. Again and again, the New Testament uses the phrase one another. Love one another, serve one another, forgive one another, encourage one another. Just watching television will not do that. The only way we can effectively encourage one another is by committing ourselves to being a part of a church family. Not just for the sermons or the singing, but to live in relationship with one another. We need each other. Secondly, we need to consider how we can express encouragement. Hebrews 10 and 24 says, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works." It takes thought. The way you encourage one person might not be effective for another. We need to consider how to encourage each other. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about myself and Polly real quick here. There were two Churches of Christ in Jay. There was a small one on they called it the east side. And then, you know, now we go to the south side. But we went to the east side for many years. And all of the elders, of course, have passed away. And the minister there, he got sick. And he had to leave and move to Tahlequah, where his son and kids lived, so they could help take care of him. So, we also had a split at that. As soon as he left, there was a split. Some tried to take over, and anyway, most of us stayed there, but there were several that left. So I was doing probably Well, at first I was doing all the preaching there. You know, we were trying to keep the doors open. And I did, and then toward, you know, later there was some other people, but I did probably 75% of the preaching. And the attendance just got so low. And there was six of us left. And we couldn't keep it going anymore, and we had to shut the doors. It's hard to shut the doors on a church. My grandmother was one of the first ones that attended that church in Jay. That's where my mom went when she was a girl. And I've got a lot of history in that church. And it was really hard to shut the doors. But where I'm going with this, all six of us went to the south side. And I cannot tell you how encouraged we were when we went there. I wished we'd done it a long time ago, but still yet, it was very hard to shut the doors on a church. But the encouragement and still have is just phenomenal. And of course, when you have 80 people, roughly, on Sunday morning, and the singing is just beautiful. You know how hard it is to lead singing with six members? So there was many services. I led all the singing. I was the only one there and did it all. But very hard to lead singing with six. And when we got there and the singing, and it was just beautiful. And we have just loved it so much since we've moved over there. And as I say, they were very encouraging, and the love that they showed to us was just phenomenal. But the Greek word translated encourage is an interesting word. It's a word that usually has negative meaning. It means to irritate or incite. It's a word that suggests the idea of prodding and poking. It's a little like the company that negotiated a new health insurance plan. And I'm sure you've heard of these. Now, this was before Obamacare came along, because once that came along, I don't think this would have ever been allowed. But this health insurance plan, it required 100% of the employee participation. Every employee that worked there, for them to get this plan, had to sign up. Or the plan would not go into effect. And it was a very good plan. And everybody signed up except Sam, who refused. And his fellow workers pleaded with him. No doing. He would not sign up. So finally, the company president called Sam to his office and he said, "This health plan is too good for us to lose out on, Sam. Now, here's an application and a pen, and I want you to sign up now. I'm sorry, but if you don't, I'll have to fire you." And without any hesitation, Sam grabbed the pen and signed up. When it was all done, the president asked Sam, "Would you mind telling me why you didn't sign up earlier?" "Well, sir," said Sam, "nobody explained it to me quite so clearly before." But that's basically the idea of the word encourage here. In a positive way, we are to incite others to acts of good works. With some of you, encouragement appears to happen just naturally. Others may think, "God didn't give me any spiritual gift," when all along God has given you the gift of being able to encourage others. And you enjoy doing it. It's just a part of your nature. If so, Romans 12:8 has a message for you. If you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Use your gift of encouragement, for you have a vital ministry that is needed by all of us. But for the rest of us, encouragement won't happen unless we plan to do it. So let me give you some ideas on how you and I can encourage others. Now, I don't know when you go to the post office or you go out to your mailbox. I don't know what yours is like, but mine gets stuffed full of junk. I wind up throwing probably 90% of it away before I ever leave the post office. Just, and of course, a few bills. But when Polly and I get a handwritten note, that is always the first thing we open. We want to see who sent us a note. Who sent us something to say something? What's the card all about? So one of the most effective ways to encourage someone is a simple note telling them that you're thinking of them and praying for them. Now, I also have what might be called a love-hate relationship with the telephone, cell phones. Sometimes I'm torn between the desire to answer it or to throw it out the window. And I know you all feel the same way at times. But what would happen if you picked up the phone to say, I don't have much time today, but God just put you on my mind. I wanted you to know that you're in my prayers today. So consider how you can use your telephone to encourage others. We can always come up with 5 minutes to call someone who maybe was sick and couldn't be at church, just to call and check on them. Let them know you're thinking about them. We've all lost loved ones. And it's tough on that anniversary, especially the first one after you've lost a loved one. It's tough. So you can use your concern to encourage others on that anniversary of loss. Don't forget them. You know, sometimes we have a loved one, or sometimes we have a close friend or like I say, a loved one, and they've lost somebody, okay? They lost a loved one. And we go to the funeral, and we mourn with the family and encourage them and, you know, talk to them. But how many times have we went to a funeral to close friends or family, and then after that day, you never called to check on them? We just don't do that enough. Send them a card. So there's so many ways we can encourage people. So many ways. And sometimes the best way to encourage isn't through words at all. It's through listening. It's by trying to understand the other person. Understanding is oftentimes better than advice. There are countless ways to encourage. Once again, the Bible says, think of ways to encourage one another. Put some thought into it. That's the second principle of encouraging effectively. A third principle of effective encouragement is commit to encouraging daily. Daily. Think about it. Put some thought into it. Who could I call today, or who could I go see today? Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage each other every day while it is today. Help each other so none of you will become hardened because sin has tricked you. Encouragement is to be a daily action. This means encouraging even when there's very little to encourage. Now, we don't have a choir, but I'm going to tell you a story about a church that had a choir in this little elderly lady that was there. And in that congregation, this elderly lady was an encourager. Okay, she encouraged everybody. She always had something good to say about everything. But when it came to that choir, she was hard put to think of anything positive to say. They were just that bad. So finally, she finally solved that problem. One Sunday morning, as the choir members filed into the choir loft, she leaned over and said to her friend, "Aren't they walking in well this morning?" She found something positive to say. Now, it may not have been much, but it was positive. There's always something positive that you can say. Now, when you came in this morning, or when you come in this evening, it's likely we weren't particularly thinking of other people's needs. And that's probably true of most of us. Hidden opportunities for encouragement will surface only as we regularly look for them, only as we make a commitment to a habit of encouragement. Proverbs 12 and 25 says, "Worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up." I'm going to tell another story here, and it's on a minister. He said he was a sophomore in high school when he was asked to preach his very first sermon. Now, his father had helped reopen a closed church in Crowell, Texas. And so the family had recently moved there. But there was a problem. He had already been scheduled to speak several times at a mission conference in Oregon, and had to be gone for 3 Sundays. After considering what to do, the elders asked if he would preach one of those Sundays that his dad was gone. And he finally agreed to do so, reluctantly. This is just a boy in high school. He finally agreed to do so, and he worked very hard on that sermon. And he practiced and practiced preaching it. And every time he practiced the sermon, it lasted about 1 hour. Then the Sunday came when he preached it to the congregation. He was so nervous, and when he was nervous, he tended to speak very rapidly. In fact, over the years, I've noticed that a lot of teenagers do that when they get nervous. They speak very rapidly. Well, when he preached that morning, he was so nervous that his hour-long sermon lasted exactly 12 minutes. To make matters worse, the church had no sound system, and he didn't speak very loudly, so only the people with really good hearing could hear what he said. He said it was a disaster, and I knew it. And he went on to say, "If someone would have told me that I was a disgrace as a speaker and should never get up in front of people again, I would have agreed 100%. That's how he felt. But he said the people were kind, but I really felt low," he said. That afternoon, one of the older ladies came to the house to talk to him and to his mother. And she told him that she appreciated his sermon and felt that he had a potential to be a preacher. She said that she wanted to help him by paying a speech teacher there in town to give him private lessons for a year. And she did. And what a difference that made in his life. And he'll be and he was eternally grateful for her encouragement that day. And I just want you to know, he went on to be a minister, and he retired from the ministry. And he really owes a lot of that to that lady, or he feels, because she encouraged him. Let's pray. Father, you've told us that our words have the power of life and death, that you will grant us understanding hearts that we may see people, their strengths and their weaknesses, their hopes and despairs, their efforts and their failures, and touch them with your love. May we encourage one another, not just today, but every day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's been an invitation song selected. And if there's anybody that needs to come forward for any reason, whether it be baptized or you just feel you would like to have the prayers of the church, please do so as we stand and sing.